You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Crypto zookeepers traverse a richly drawn hallucinatory world attempting to capture a Baku, a dream-eating hybrid cryptid creature of legend, and start wondering if they should display these beasts or keep them hidden and unknown. And if that sentence doesn't make you stop and say, "What the hell?" and instead turn on your black light and lava lamp and say, "Cool, man, tell me more," then Crypto Zoo might be the movie for you. This animated adult drama is one part cautionary tale about how we treat one another in a world that grows smaller every day, one part activist thriller that utilizes myth and fantasy as allegory for race and gender conformity, and one part acid-tripping yellow submarine nonsense. I am TC DeWitt of the Screener Squad, and today we will be stripping down to our birthday suits and attempting to discuss whether or not the visual overstimulation of this movie threatens to derail its themes, or if it's successful in its ambitious and unique critique of capitalistic values. I am joined by legends and myths in their own right, Matt.
Hello.
And Marco.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Gentlemen, as a very famous animated creature of textile and capitalism once said, "You want to get high?" Oh,
I wish I would have been offered the option.
So before we started here, there was supposed to be a fourth joining us, and Chad was unable to join us for this. And Matt, you retorted with?
I said I think he actually got to avoid it.
Oh, boy, guys. Oh, boy.
Chad movie avoider. He's behind Virgin Movie Reviewers.
Guys, I want to admit that it took me 3 times to watch this movie. I kept falling asleep.
Just trying different strains.
I feel so bad because it's the nicest anybody has ever been that sends the screeners to me. Like, they sent it really early. They asked me how did I feel about it, and I hadn't seen it yet.
Genuinely nice people involved here.
That was like a step and beyond nice, but it was still like, this is the most uncomfortable I've been watching a movie in a while. And not good uncomfortable like a horror movie. This is just like... Mm-hmm. Like you said, it took you 3 times to watch it.
It's written and directed by this fella, Dash Shaw, who clearly is an artist. This whole movie is hand-drawn, and not in the classic Disney sense of hand-drawn, but in the kind of reminded me of just a slightly better version of Napoleon Dynamite's illustrations.
The animation is very kind of throwback. It has a rotoscoped feel. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you the biggest association I formed is I have to say that I had actually a parallel thought to the movie Joker, which is that Joker is a Scorsese movie for people that haven't seen one. Mm-hmm. This would be like blowing my mind, man, if I had never seen Forbidden Planet, which is very reminiscent of.
Yes. That's so funny because I brought this up to a friend in preparing for this review, and he suggested, "Oh, wow, this sounds like Forbidden Planet," which I had never even heard of. I looked it up and thought, oh, yes, that makes sense, having come out in the 70s. This, look, premise alone, this is good. This is a cool story. This is sort of like a crime thriller.
I knew nothing about the style of this movie. I just was like, oh, it's a movie with cryptids. I'm in. I didn't sign up for this.
The biggest flaw here is honestly just this is a little heavy.
Yeah.
There's a couple we follow at the beginning.
Voiced by Michael Cera. That's the first celebrity voice. That's
the manliest Michael Cera he's ever been.
Yeah. Very Adam and Eve, strutting around naked, getting high.
The guy has a real Creedence Clearwater vibe. The girl is like kind of sick of him, but also like, well, It's 1974. This is what you get.
Right.
Their subplot, just they do things and then they disappear. And then everything they touched on is reintroduced. Mm-hmm. The only thing they're really there for is to like interject some stakes. Like they're literally there to fluff up the kill count and danger amount.
Right. And that's making it sound far more exciting than it actually is.
Watching it, I was just like, if this was like a long short, like if this was a 45-minute short film, mm-hmm. and they got to it, I would be a lot more fixated on it, because it had there's a lot of strong stuff here, like yeah. overarching mythological stuff. The theme is kind of cool. Who was it that was the Gorgon character?
Right. She's a Medusa, to put it in more mm-hmm. layman terms.
I thought that was a good voice performance.
Yeah. Lake Bell plays the main female lead in this, the main character.
Phoebe Angeliki Papoula.
There you go.
Peter Stormare is here. Mm-hmm. They never clarify if he's a satyr, a faun, or neither. Yeah.
He's a horny dude.
But he is some sort of Mediterranean goat man. Yeah.
Sure. And he's involved in the black market trade of cryptids. And there is something cool here. There is a cool premise here. It's a cool world where the mythological creatures of Greek and Norse and Egyptian and all of these, they exist. It sort of reminded me of Bright in that way, where it's these very fantastical things, or Onward if you want to go more towards something that was better.
Mm-hmm. The pitch is better than the plot.
Yes.
That's the problem here. And I have a feeling, right? I turn trailers off halfway through. I stop mm-hmm. watching press on things the second I decide to watch them. Mm-hmm. I'm very spoiler sensitive. I get owly about it. I get all revved up. The feeling I got was that there was a production narrative that was supposed to make me handicap this. Like one guy had been making this for 40 years with colored pencils or something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find anything like that after I watched it to understand quite why people were so taken with it. It does have like a nominally like a message for our times. It's sort of anti-capitalist, anti-exploitation, honoring one another's differences. Sure. It was just a little too cumbersome. It frustrates you because it could have been great with a cleanup.
Absolutely.
As I sit in judgment with my zero produced movies.
Well, I have produced movies and I'll tell you, you're right.
Maybe this movie could have been great. It was never going to be for me from the moment that the art style came up. And it's like, I'm open-minded. I can do a lot of stuff, but this almost played off more like a podcast with pictures. Like, didn't really move too much. And the story's all more verbal than actually showing you too much things. And it's like, that's cool, but this isn't a movie, really. At least that was the feeling I got for a lot of this.
That's funny that you would call it an animated podcast, essentially, because I kept writing notes like, I think I heard about this article on NPR. This scene right here, I think I heard this on NPR. All the voices are very calming. Even in the exciting moments, it's just very chill.
Oh, he got stabbed.
It's weird because I associate Lake Bell with Children's Hospital, which is a rather madcap and disturbing show. But sure. Apparently she has a history of dramatic performance as well.
Lake Bell is very underrated, very fantastic. I can't recommend enough In a World, which mm-hmm. is a great movie that she's in, but not the one we're reviewing right now. The performances are fine. The performances are good in this. Even though oftentimes it does feel like that NPR podcast reading your lines one time and yeah, we got it, moving on. There is some good performances in this. And I've said it already that the premise is good. It's the execution that is not good.
I don't know what would make this palatable for me. It's dense in what it's trying to say. But if you want to say that it has all these anti-capitalistic messages, but it's a really calm stream for a lot of this podcast. For a lot of the movie, it's just...
No, you're right. It reminded me a lot of Waking Life, the Richard Linklater movie,
yeah.
which is just one philosophical, sociological conversation after another, animated over the people performing it. And it's not a dynamically animated movie. It is more of just this living art installation. And I think the same could be said about CryptoZoo here. It's that this is for a very specific audience. This is for artsy art house people. So it doesn't surprise me that this won awards at Sundance for innovation, that I am seeing as few critics that have reviewed this reviewing it highly. This is not for a mainstream audience. This is not accessible to a mainstream audience.
That's kind of the problem I have, like putting a number to rating it is, if you're the person it's for, it's probably really for you. Like, your personal tolerance for rambling psychedelia is going to determine your ability to enjoy this.
Put that on the poster.
Which, some people are into that, you know?
The overall feeling that I left this movie was, like, when the first time I went to an art museum tour, and I'm not the most artistic person. I look at art and it's like, I like landscapes because I understand that. But I mean, I was literally giving lessons on like what impressionism is and all this other kind of art styles. And I was like, that's great. Would not have known any of that without this tour. And maybe that's what I kind of needed for this movie. Just someone to be like, no, we chose this because I don't actually know if that would have made it better, but that's all I got. I don't know. Whenever you go into something that's not for you, like maybe it's polka music or... I wasn't happy with this movie. That's all I can say. I'm not the people this is for, but I think that there is people that would love this.
With that being said, I challenge you now to wrap this up and try to give it a rating, I suppose, to stick with what we're supposed to do here.
I just got to give it like a 2 out of 5 Sasquatches. You can find the other 3 if you're really into this.
Very good. Matt, go ahead.
I'm going to go ahead and give this probably 6 out of 10 minute stretches where I yell, just take the shades off the Gorgon.
Well, look, I've never been into modern art. I find it pretentious. I started my college career pursuing illustration, and I always butted heads in the art department because I wanted to draw cartoons and comic books while everyone else in the department wanted to have something that says something. Artists that love this type of art, like this movie, remind me of season 3 documentary now, Waiting for the Artist, which is a send-up of this subculture of art, the very pretentious type that I'm sort of mocking right now. And maybe I'm basic, but to me, art that confuses or shocks or tries to be so damn deep isn't. And I know that says something about me and my view of the world, but sometimes an apple can just be an apple. A movie like this clearly has something to say, not just in its story, but in the art style it's being done in. And it just doesn't click with me. And I don't think it's going to click with a lot of people. This feels like a movie for people who hate Disney and hate Zootopia. It's anti-Hollywood. It's anti-capitalism. It's real art. And you just don't get it. But here's the thing. It's still a movie with famous voices being released by a studio to a streaming platform. This may be a piece of real art, but it's still a product being bought and sold in the exact same place the thing it appears to be against is doing. So what the hell? It's mixed messages when you step back and look at it as a whole. The script is interesting. It has like Metropolis vibes to it, and I like that. But I think a more refined art style or even a live action with Guillermo del Toro level of makeup effects would have made this incredible. But as it is, I found it boring and just hard to watch. I never want to review a movie with malice. I know how hard it is to make a movie, how hard it is to draw and animate a movie, and I know how hard it is to sell a movie. So major tip of the hat to Dash Shaw for accomplishing this. He made a movie for a very specific audience. I just think that audience might be himself. And so whatever the case may be, I just didn't connect with this movie. And taking all that into account, I have to give this movie 3 out of 10 naked Michael Cera's. And I know that's harsh because I'm forcing you to imagine a naked Michael Cera.
You made all the points I made earlier way better. That's what I was trying to say about the museum. I didn't know how to say it without being insulting, but you found a way to do it.
Wait, was I insulting? Oh, shit.
No, without being insulted.
Look, Marco, you just don't get it, man.